Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. If you're an ice fisherman, this show will be a treat for you. My guest is Bro Brosdell. He's one of the premier ice fishermen in the country today. If you watch any shows about ice fishing or listen to anything, you'll probably see him. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Rick.
Oh, man, it's great to have you back. We did a show once before, and I got to thinking this year, we had our polar blast. We have decent ice on most waters, earliest I've seen in many years. So I thought, I got to do a show on ice fishing. Who should I talk to? Bingo. You popped up. So, So thanks for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Absolutely. I always love to talk before I head out on the lake.
There you go. Now, you're up in Minnesota. I think it's Max, Minnesota. Is that where you're headquartered?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. What's your ice look like right now?
Well, we have, in this area, we have about 18 inches of ice, and would be perfectly drivable on most lakes with trucks, and there are roads, but we have about 14 to 16 inches of snow, and then with heavy winds, it created huge waves where there's a lot of places, there's 2 to 4 foot waves of snow that are frozen hard as a rock, and
sitting
here right now. We're below zero, so if you hit it with a truck, your front end makes it through, but your back end might get stuck, and then the front end will be on lesser snow and on ice, and you know what happens there. It's you really got to go fast and punch through it. But I use a snowmobile or a four wheeler on tracks, and you know, just go cautiously.
I have always been intrigued with watching the movies like Grumpier Old Men when you see them out there ice fishing, and they'll actually take a maintainer out on the, you know, grid out roads and stuff. It's amazing.
It is. There's roads on a lot of lakes already out. Some of them are out miles, many miles, like 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 miles.
I would love to see that sometime. I've never had that opportunity. Anyway, who introduced you to ice fishing?
It was my mother and father at the age of 5. My father went out fishing with some friends, and I got to tag along. And in my earliest memories, that was my first memory, is roving around outside and fishing holes that were punched outside and while they're inside. And I don't remember anything earlier than that, but I'm not sure if I went as an infant, but I'll tell you, the best thing is to take your kids fishing, even if they're really small, because, you know, they might adore the sport like I do.
When my boys were young, we used to do that, and I would fish, and then they would skate or do whatever they wanted to, but my youngest at the time, one of my pictures that I treasure of him, is he's about 3 years old, and he has his Transformer hat and gloves on, and he's got this death grip on a trout that he had just caught.
That is awesome.
And we were getting ready to leave, and I kept telling him, I said, Isaiah, let's go. And he goes, nope. He says, there's a fish coming. And I couldn't see anything happening, and he goes, nope. And I said, we'll get him. And pretty soon he sits there. He goes, there he is. And he had him.
That's what gets you hooked into fishing right there.
Yep. Now, when you have done your fishing, I know you said, you know, that's kind of what attracted you to fishing. Do you think ice fishing is becoming more popular these days?
Ice fishing is exploding. It's really huge. Well, you know, we're not near the equator, so winter is long.
Got to have something to do.
Remember, everybody, no matter what, you might have a short season, but you do get cold. Everywhere in the Midwest, the ice states are all the northern part of the United States. And in my neck of the woods, winter can be 5 months long, you know, or 4. It depends. Sometimes we lose winter. We've only lost winter every 10 years, maybe a couple times in 10 years where it thawed quick. But winter's long. You might as well embrace it. And there's certain things I like about winter more than anything. Heat, you know, in the South, I just love it. It's cool.
I tell people when they ask me, why do I go out on the ice and fish? And I tell them, I have never had to dodge a rattlesnake or swat a mosquito when I'm ice fishing.
Exactly. That is just it. There's no wood ticks when you're walking around.
Absolutely.
And to let people know, it's a fascination for people outside of the ice belt. I had a call from San Francisco yesterday. A gentleman wanted it as his bucket list to come up and fish. And he said, even if we didn't catch anything, I just want to see and fish in an ice hole just to see it and experience it.
It's amazing for people that haven't seen it before, but even today, it fascinates me of how clear the water is below the ice and how well you can see.
Oh, yes.
An article I wrote some years ago, I drilled two holes together and had a buddy fishing, and he was catching the fish, and I had my arm down the other hole with a camera and a waterproof jacket, and I was taking the picture up from under the ice, and you could see the fish at the bottom of the hole. You could see the shape of a human on the outside, and the editor just thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
It really is. It goes to show you that you might not think they're seeing you, but they are.
Oh, yeah. I've done a couple pieces like that. So, when you're going to a new body of water that you maybe have never fished before, what kind of things do you look for to know where to start punching a hole and finding fish?
Well, before you leave, there's a source available on the internet on every just about every popular fishing lake. If they're popular, it's for a reason. They're very productive for fish. You'll hear what's going on, so research that. Then look at maps available, and I have a Humminbird, so I could just go to my depth finder, turn it on, and look at maps. If you don't have that, you can get apps online, like Humminbird Fishmark, and this is a map, but it's also your GPS you can have right on your phone. And or just do free maps you find anywhere, but study it and imagine fish that are chasing minnows or looking for insects. Where would they be? And they're usually creatures of edges, so look for steep breaks or anything where they could hide from northern pike or any of that, and work those areas. And so I look at a map and study it, and they read like a book.
Yes.
And pick your spots before you go, but if you go there, and let's say you can't get on, you go to another lake, you didn't get to study, basically start from the shoreline out, not right next to shoreline, but the weed beds out to the basin. That's the best way to go, because they might be in the weeds, they might be in the basin, but you're working your way, and don't drill your holes close together unless you're checking ice.
Right, and check often.
check all of it, and when you start fishing, the ice is safe. Spread your holes out and then fine-tune them when you find some fish or you see some fish.
We were talking before this show, we were talking this morning about who my guest was going to be in ice fishing. And I said, I've been through the ice a few times, and that's not the textbook way of having fun.
Nope.
And I purposely, generally fish the same lakes I fish when the water's liquid. So I know the depths, I know where I am, and I'm doing my testing, punching my holes and testing where I know that if I do punch through, I'm going to hit bottom before I go completely under. And that's the way I kind of test my ice. And that helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's an idea for you. If somebody doesn't already have it, you need to get with somebody and invent the Brozdel smartphone app for ice fishing. You plug a cable into your phone and you watch them right on your phone.
It sounds good. I'm hearing that stuff's out there. And, I don't know how to build an app, but maybe if somebody's out there that does, let me know.
I'm sure they do. I know one of my sons could do it if I had him here, but he's in Virginia. That's a little hard to work with him on stuff like that. So, but we got to take a break. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit more specifics. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking ice fishing, and we're talking with one of the kings of the sport, bro, bro. So, you don't mind me introducing you like that, do you?
No, I just been at it so long, you know. It's really nice of you. Thank you.
Like I said, every time I read something about you, and I go, you know, I've been lucky enough to talk to this guy, so it is kind of cool. We talked a little bit about electronics there before we took the break. What do you recommend for people that, you know, want to spend the money for that? What kind of equipment should they get?
Well, I'd recommend something if you're going to want to use it on the ice and in a boat, get a Hummingbird, and you get the kits with forward viewing, so you could drop it down and you could see forward, and it's kind of like an ultrasound. You can see schools of fish swimming in the distance. And you could use one transducer and see all the lines in a hub house or in a wheelhouse or rental house, wherever you're at. It's adjustable, so you can point the transducer down. But that's a Hummingbird Mega Live ice bundle. And the reason I recommend that to everybody is you could take that unit and use it on your boat, and it has the best side imaging. Arguably, everybody gets them. It doesn't matter what brand they have. They always buy Hummingbird for their side imaging, for their mapping, down imaging, and their forward viewing is so easy to operate. And then you could add a 360 if you want. You could hook it up to the same head, which is like a radar that sees every direction. But Mega Live's easier to use than anything out there, and takes the new VX map chip. And you can get that in an ice bundle kit, and they're in stock in some stores. Of course, that stuff's selling out fast. But you could, the GPS is amazing, and but you got something for both seasons, and it comes with a 9-inch screen. But you could use, you could piece it together. If you have the G4N, you can get a 7, 8, or 9, or you can go 10, 12, whatever you want. But the ice bundle kit is the bargain because you get everything in one.
I'm waiting for you to say you got a 25-inch diagonal screen out there, and you got your you know, flip between the football game and fish.
Yeah, I was that. You know, I used to take a big screen off my boat. I even had a 15 out there. And I've decided if you go 10, 12, 15, you've just created something heavy, lopsided, because batteries are super light, lithium batteries. These amped lithium batteries are super, super light. And so you got a lopsided thing. But that 9-inch screen is fantastic. It's a big screen, but it's not so giant that it's become something to lug around. And you can use it if you're lucky enough to have a snow bear, if you're lucky enough to have a side-by-side, you can use it and just put it on your dash, drop the downrod outside. You know, but it doesn't have to be super expensive to ice fish. That's why it's so popular. You just need a way to punch through the ice, a chisel, drill, and some rods. It's the cheapest part of fishing, facet of fishing we get into. You don't need a boat. You don't need all these. You don't have to worry about invasives. You just go out and drill a hole, and you can bring your whole town, because there's no requirements like in a boat. But definitely one way to go. And then if you got a family, or if you're really serious about fishing, you got to have an AquaView, because I use AquaView, and there's some days, if it's really tough fishing, I'm watching fish and everybody's missing them, but they're just, those perch come up and they puff at it and they don't have it, and people set the hook and then they take off, never coming back. But with an AquaView, you can watch them take the waxworm or the minnow head all the way in on their second gulp and set the hook. You don't lose or scare fish. And we've already had a one day where the pressure was super low and the fishing was tough, and I had to show people how to use it, because that's how we put them on the ice. Otherwise, so the AquaView, and they're like tablets now. You get the AquaView 822. Right. It's like carrying a tablet, but you can mount it to your rig. Really cool, and a reel on the back for the line. That's why ice fishing is cool. It's real, like James Bond, technical.
Now, for years, anglers have known that fish are finicky. Someday they like one color, someday they like another color. How much does that matter with ice fishing, and what's your technique?
It really does. I'm noticing a trend on a lake where I was using blue and white or green perch is now all red this year. And I'm using glass buckshots for my walleyes and perch. They have the high pitch, but they are, that color, that translucent paint job is amazing, and in clear water, you need it. But I designed a Brobux phone, but we'll get into that later. But it's color is a big difference. Don't just get what you know looks good to you. Get different stuff, because there's times that I'm using gold. There's times I'm using a color called Sneeze, which is green dots out of chartreuse and orange. And every lake's different, you know, from where you're at through the Dakotas. And I get to see and hear sometimes what a hot color is in different areas. And it changes a little bit, but for the most part, like if you end up in North Dakota, you're going to want to have glow perch. You're going to want to have orange and glow in little buckshot spoons. And if you're in Watertown, that Sneeze is super hot. Tiger beetle. There's a lot of different patterns. And what it is, sometimes it's nothing that lives in that water, but it looks good to those fish. And every lake has its own characteristics and own personality. Yes. So get different sizes too.
Now we've got just a couple minutes left here. So tell us about the lures you design and some of the things you do.
Well, it goes back 20 years or more than 20 years. For the bro bug, I designed stuff for ice fishing, and it was really a larva looking, and it was radical back then, but now nothing's radical anymore. But it was able to get fish to bite. And a lot of the impulse plastics for ice fishing, I've designed the bloodworm, still using it on a pre-rigged impulse. But the bro bug spoon, if you're fishing for perch and walleyes, you can't beat it, because it looks like larva. It's a skinny stick-like bait with bulging ice. Add some waxies or maggots, and you're going to catch perch and walleyes on it. Because remember, there's no crawlers and leeches in the wintertime. So maggots and waxworms on that work really well if you're in basins. If you're going to fish a basin, get a Brobug spoon. And anywhere you go, get a little assortment of colors from the smaller, from an eighth ounce to a quarter ounce to Brobug spoon would be something. And I design stuff based on real life. What we need, and you know, there's some similar stuff that came out afterwards, but it's all about imitating what's down there and matching the hatch.
If you design something that works, you know somebody's going to be imitating it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. But if you get a Brobug spoon, that is a perch walleye magnet, and then pick up some glass buckshots, and you're all set. And bring waxies and spikes or maggots, whatever you want to call them. It changes from place to place. But bring both, because I've been in places where they only want waxies or a minnow head. Sometimes you can cut the minnow heads before you go, put them in a little razor puck, and you're all set.
Very good. I have decided, we talked about the gentleman from San Francisco that called about your bucket list item. Or his bucket list. I think my bucket list now has a trip up to fish with you.
That sounds great. That'll be fun.
That would be.
You might see a wolf or some deer on their way into the lakes, too.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool. Let me check. What do we got for time left, Mr. Sean?
Oh, 2 minutes if you want it.
2 minutes, okay. Walleye and panfish are big here, and perch kind of right behind the panfish, and you talked about your lures that you use for that. Anything special with the technique you do for them?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go to, we didn't mention the mud bug and gill getter. They're the little heavy micro jigs for panfish.
Uh-huh.
You can get those with plastics like a mayfly or a bloodworm, or you can get them just themselves. They're tungsten, so I'd use a mud bug or gill getter. Mud bug, I gave a clue in the design, drop it in the mud and pound it for perch.
Stir it up.
But the gill getter works for crappies, bluegills. Always fish above the crappies. Stay above them. And so if one comes up, and you'll get them to come up and hit, but you won't scare the whole school. If you set the hook in a school of crappies in the middle, you'll blow them up. You'll scare them all away. So pluck the crappies from the top, just like the star in a Christmas tree. And for bluegills, go a little bit closer to the bottom for the bigger ones. The smaller ones will be the first to swarm at it. And so stay under, and that's where mud bug's great. You drop it right down through them, and that tungsten drops fast. And load up the hook. Make sure the point ain't sticking up, because bluegills and crappies have binocular vision. They can see so much detail, and they'll pass on baits that aren't up to snuff. And then micro movements. One good hop to make them sweep over and look at it, and then little movements. Practice in the ice hole before you drop it down, where you're just moving the bait on the hook, and then drop it down and recreate that same motion with your rod tip, and then watch on an aqua view, and you wait till that hook full of bait disappears in their mouth. Not the head of the hook, but the hook itself, and you'll have 100% hookup on that. And a lot. Here's another little trick: when you're watching your panfish baits, you don't have to stick the aqua view down in their face. The new technology is really clear and sharp on clear lakes. If I'm in 10 feet of water, I'm only an inch below the hole.
Yeah.
There's no cord to tangle. And then if it's deeper water, I'm only halfway down. And I'm watching walleyes bite on the aqua view in tandem with my hummingbird. But I don't think everybody knows aqua view doesn't have to be down in their face. And if it's really dark, put it down to the bottom, pointing slightly upward. And you can see the fish silhouette against the ice while you're jigging. It's really cool.
Bro, appreciate it. I hear music in the background, which is my engineer's way of telling me that we got to shut up. So, anyway, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for the tips. And have a great season, partner.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. Everybody be safe on the ice and get out there and enjoy it.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.